verses 12 through 21. Just a reminder, too, that especially while we're going through this series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer, you may have noticed that this scripture I usually read is normally the basis for the sermon. It's sort of different during this Lord's Prayer series because this reading and others in this place in our service will be related to the theme we're focusing on, but not necessarily the scripture that I preach from. So if something seems a little different in the way we've been doing our messages through this series, that's part of why. Revelation 22, 12 through 21. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practiced magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Let us pray. O sovereign God, you have come to us through Jesus Christ. You've promised to come again to complete what you started in the work of salvation. You come to us now here in worship in so many ways, especially through the preaching of your word. Open our hearts and minds to welcome you and to receive you as you come to us now through proclamation. We pray this for your glory. Amen. Last Sunday, we continued our series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer by exploring the prayer's opening address and the first petition. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus, in that particular part of the prayer, calls us to join him in his relationship with God through the work of the Spirit in a way that acknowledges the holy love of the Father, who's the source of our life, the source of our salvation. So the beginning of the Lord's Prayer reminds us that God is personal, God is relational, but not in a way that diminishes his holiness or his majesty. Majesty, that word itself, it's something that we often associate with kingship. And there's plenty of kingship in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Or as many of us may have learned it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That idea of kingship permeates the Bible. We heard it in our scripture passage earlier from Isaiah, where God's exercising kingship. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, Your God reigns. The great expectation and the hope of God's people Israel was that one day God would come fully and finally to deliver them from bondage and oppression, and that all nations would acknowledge the Lord as the world's true ruler. So we have that stress on God's kingship in the Old Testament. And then when we turn to the New Testament, we see that the word the gospel writers use most often to summarize the message and ministry of Jesus is the word kingdom. For instance, in Mark, when Jesus starts his earthly ministry, we're told, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. That was the text of the first sermon I ever preached here at Grace Baptist Church just over 20 years ago. We began our partnership with one another and our life and ministry together by centering once again on the reign of God, the kingdom of God, which is still the focus of our worship and our work and our witness. When we think of kings and kingship, we often think of a place or a territory. A kingdom is the territory or the space over which someone rules and reigns, and there's certainly plenty of truth in that. But in the New Testament, the word that gets translated as king or kingdom, especially kingdom, has more of a sense of activity to it. It's not just a place or a territory. It's something that's happening. It's an activity. So a word like rule or reign comes closer to its meaning. So when Jesus preaches that the kingdom of God is near, he's announcing that God is returning to claim his throne. God has shown up on the scene to rule again. He's implementing his reign. His kingdom is taking hold. Now, some of that language may sound sort of strange or ancient to us folks living in a modern democracy, the language of kings and kingship. But the underlying idea, I think, of governing or being governed is still something that can help us grasp the nature of the gospel, even if we're not accustomed to royal coronations in our society. We know all about transitions of power. After an election is held, an inauguration takes place for the next president. Even when we grow cynical about government itself, which is something that we're prone to do, we still know that who's in power makes a difference. For our own lives, for the lives of others, it still matters. Or whatever your political party or your candidate preference, we recognize that whoever reigns from Washington or from the state house or from the town hall or the county commissioner's building, that makes a difference in people's lives. We may not speak the same language of kings or kingship, really, but we know that living under somebody's authority or exercising authority ourselves is still part of the reality of daily life. So we have that connection. As Christians, we not only pray for those who are in authority, we pray for the coming really of heavenly authority. That's the focus of the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. So when we pray in this way, we're joining with other followers of Jesus in longing for the full and final arrival of the reign of God in the world, the future manifestation of God's sovereignty. We're yearning in that prayer for God to finish what he has started through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is for our Lord's return to bring about the full reconciliation and restoration and healing of the entire created order. Your kingdom come is the prayer. Now, what's the content of that expression? Jesus fleshes it out further by saying it's the doing of God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is the realm where God's will is already done. His righteousness is fully actualized. His character, God's values, are already fully implemented and reflected and embodied in the heavenly realm. In heaven, things operate the way that God likes them to and intends them to. That's part of the nature of heaven. So when we pray as Jesus has taught us, we're asking for the will of God to be fully actualized here where we are. Where we are. In other words, as one pastor's put it, we're praying, may your sphere of authority, God, be extended to this earth. Please, God, arrange things down here just as you do up there. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May up there come down here. That's the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Pastor Mark Buchanan recalls a scene from the movie The Soloist. And that movie tells the story of a friendship that developed between a man named Nathaniel Ayers. He's a homeless man with an undiagnosed mental illness. And a friendship developed between him and Stephen Lopez, a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. And in this particular scene, he says, Stephen spends the night on the streets with Nathaniel. There are rats scurrying around on the street as people around weep, laugh, jabber, some brawl and embrace. Folks curl up in sleeping bags in stairwells. They hunker down over meals. And all the while this is going on and portrayed in the scene, Nathaniel's reciting the Lord's Prayer. His voice, he says, floats over the streets, madness and tenderness, its beauty and squalor. Thy kingdom come, he prays, as one woman flails at a man and beats her hands on his chest. Thy will be done, he says, as two men share a cigarette. On earth as it is in heaven, he prays, and there's a scene of a church group handing out food to the homeless, boxed meals. So, according to Buchanan, when we see this scene in the movie, we're left to wonder, Nathaniel, as he prays, is he asking for the kingdom to come to these streets? Or is he announcing that the kingdom is already present? Well, when we look at the message and ministry of Jesus and the message and ministry that we have as the church, both of those are true. They're both actually the case. In one respect, the kingdom of God is future. We pray for and look forward to the reign of God, the day when the reign of God in Christ will be brought to consummation at the end of the world. But in another respect, the kingdom of God's not only future, it's also present. Christ has died for our sins, has been raised from the dead, we're told, is seated at the right hand of God. God has reconciled us to himself and to one another. Sin, death, and the devil have been defeated. God reigns. So the kingdom of God is both already and not yet. Present and future. And that part of what that means is that following Jesus means living a life in this strange territory and time between Christ's first coming and his final coming. We live, I like the way that author Philip Yancey puts it, in a transition time, a transition from death to life, from human injustice to divine justice, from the old to the new, tragically incomplete, yet marked here and there, now and then, with clues of what God will someday achieve in perfection. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And indeed it will be, like he was stressing there, God's achievement, not our own. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're acknowledging that God is God. And only God can eventually bring in the rule and the reign of God. So the Lord's Prayer isn't really a prayer for those who believe that human beings on our own can fix the world and set right what's wrong with society. where all, the scriptures remind us, part of a world in rebellion against our Creator, subject to powers and forces that are greater than what human beings can remedy. Our deliverance, we're told, comes from beyond, comes from outside us, comes from beyond us, from heaven to earth. That's exactly what our Lord's telling us to pray for, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that's a grand vision of cosmic redemption in Christ, of salvation that has to come from beyond us to us, not something that we can create and make on our own as human beings. It's a grand vision of God's faithfulness, his determination to set things right in the world. No more sickness. No more pandemics. No more war. No more racial or ethnic oppression. No more hatred on the internet. No more abuse of the planet. No more haves and have-nots. No more family strife. No more teenage depression or suicide, or the same among adults. No more gun violence or mass shootings. No more death. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The reuniting of the heavenly realm and the earthly realm, with God's peace and justice accomplished and undisturbed forever. I once passed by a church that had a critical question posted on its sign as a message to passersby. Do you want what God wants? Do you want what God wants? God has shown us, most of all through Jesus Christ, what he wants. And he hasn't just shown us what he wants. He's done what's necessary in order to bring it about. Through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has accomplished what he wants: the salvation of sinners, the reconciliation and restoration of humankind, the bringing about, we're told, of a new creation. So then the question becomes, what will you do with what God has done? Do you want what God wants? What are you doing with what God has done? What he wants for the world? What he wants for you? What he wants for you is to be a kingdom person through Jesus Christ and faith in him as your Lord. He wants to bring you out of self-sovereignty and under his sovereignty. I like the way that J.I. Packer has put it when he says, God's kingdom is not a place, but rather a relationship. It exists wherever people enthrone Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. That's where the kingdom of God prevails, where folks enthrone Jesus as Lord of their lives. Repent. Repent and believe the good news. Bring your life into and under the reign of Jesus Christ. Join in this prayer we have. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And notice something too about how those very words in that prayer are echoed in Jesus' own prayer that comes later on in Gethsemane as he nears his own suffering and death. My Father, he says, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. In the original Greek, the wording of that prayer is identical to the wording of the Lord's Prayer that we're given earlier here in Matthew. Clearly, God's will being done on earth and in my life and in your life is not something that comes about easily or conveniently or in some pain-free kind of way. On the contrary, The arrival of God's reign is costly, which means that you and I need to carefully consider what we're praying and asking for when we pray the Lord's Prayer, when we petition God for His kingdom to come and His will to be done. Are we prepared to make the sacrifices that it will require of us for that to happen? What will you and I have to give up in order for His will to be done in your life, in my life, in the world, on earth? Are you and I willing to go through the kind of transformation and the change in who we are and what our lives are like in order to more fully and faithfully reflect heavenly realities, not just earthly realities, reflecting the righteousness and justice of God of the world to come? We always need to step back and consider what we're praying for and asking for when we pray, especially this part of the Lord's Prayer, and what it will require of us and demand of us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in me and through me. What a prayer. The good news is that the power to be a kingdom of God person, the power to be kingdom of God people, is available to us here and now through Jesus Christ each day. As you get your day started, you wake up your phone, or you open your web browser, or you turn on your television, or you step out the front door, and you immediately recognize that we're living in a world which looks so contrary to the will and purposes of God in so many ways. You face squarely that reality in your life, but you also trust that there's a deeper and more durable reality going on too. The reign of God, the kingdom of God, like we sang about earlier in that song. Though so much in the world seems off so strong, you're the ruler still. You're the ruler yet. There's a deeper and more durable reality called the reign of God. We're told in our prayer that it's present and future. It's already and not yet. And as you pray for God to bring it about, you're not just saying, okay, God, I'll leave it up to you to bring in your reign. Ultimately, only He can. But in praying for Him to bring it about, you also have to offer yourself, God, use me to bring it about and to make it happen in my life, in the lives of others, in the life of the world. The wholeness and the life and the love that God intends for us and for the world takes root in our action. And one of our most critical actions is prayer itself. Praying for the kingdom of God. So as you pray for God's reign to become more fully visible, as you pray, and I pray in that way, I think part of what happens is God stretches the desires of your heart and transforms what you long for into more of what He longs for and wills and intends and purposes. God stretches your heart through prayer to desire and long for heavenly realities and for how those heavenly realities can be displayed in your life with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and displayed in the life of God's people together as His church. Our Father, who art in heaven, say the next poem, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. What a prayer, and what it also requires of us in God's will and purposes. Let's pray. God, we praise you and thank you that you are sovereign through Jesus Christ. What you've begun, you've promised to finish. Even now you're working in our lives and in the world. Your kingdom is more deep and more real than the reality we face each day with all of its struggles and sufferings and injustice. Thank you that we can face it with hope because of Jesus Christ. Help us to keep praying for your kingdom. Work in us to reshape our desires and longings that will long for your coming. Bring us more fully under the reign of Jesus Christ in our lives so that we'll reflect heavenly realities and that we will meet what you expect of us in order for you to bring about what you've purposed in our lives and in the world. We just pray this now for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.